Kowalski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790, KABC, smack dab in the middle of a week. That's where we are. Happy hump day, one and all. 1-800-222-5222 is the number here if you would like to be on the program. Also, if you're shy and don't want to have your voice on the radio, but do want to let me know what you're thinking, my email is at your disposal. Sam at samnation.com. That's Sam at samnation.com. Email me. I do check that during the hour and will respond if needed. Now, today was a great day. And I'll first set the scene for you because it's important. Trump today unveiled a new plan, a revamp of our nation's immigration policy. And this has nothing to do with the wall. This is a revamp of our legal immigration policy. And the entire history here of discussing illegal immigration has always turns back to legal immigration, correct? I mean, the argument has always been, well, shoot, we have a problem. We have so many people coming here because America's so great. And by the way, our doors, our front doors, as we'll call them, the legal entry points into this country, our front doors are closed shut, are broken. And therefore, people are streaming in through the back door. Now, Trump promised that he would tackle this in the election, and he promised a common sense solution, something that, you know, people really actually do want in this country. And so today, a senior policy advisor to the president, Stephen Miller, who is by the way, a native son of Santa Monica. I always tease you good people in Santa Monica. Because here I am safely ensconced behind the orange curtain at the Sweet James Studios. So I am nowhere near the mean streets of Santa Monica, but I will tell you, I know we've got some of our most loyal fans in Santa Monica, but I don't think that they don't publicly identify as Sam Nation listeners for fear of reprisals. Things can get ugly. Well, this Stephen Miller cat, he grew up there, went to Santa Monica High School. He was a rabble rouser back in the day. He's young. He's in his early 20s, mid to early 20s. And he's a super smart guy. He was the chief architect of the travel ban. He was sort of raised politically by Jeff Sessions, the embattled attorney general. So that's his background. He came to the Trump campaign via Jeff Sessions. So this guy gets up and he, in a press conference, outlines what this plan is going to be. And the thumbnail sketch is basically, we want quality immigrants. Shocking as that may seem, we want people in this country who contribute. Now, that is, of course, a subjective statement. Now, here's how that is defined, according to the Trump administration. There is a preference for people who are skilled. Well, by the way, this is not a big change. I mean, we do prioritize those applicants now, today. We want people who are skilled. We want people who are, we prefer scientists over laborers. That's the second prong of this, right? So you want people who are skilled and who preferably have some particular or unique skill that is a significant contribution to this country and to this economy. They also, today, the Trump administration said they prefer English speakers. And that right there is where all hell broke loose. Because, well, English speakers. See, now this humored me deeply because Jim Acosta over at CNN nearly flew out of his chair. And he said, you know, when this came out, he goes, so he said, look, well, you know, people who immigrate into this country, they, you know, not maybe like your relatives through Ellis Island, but in other ways, which is a wink, wink. What is other ways? They're not coming through the front door. Yeah, we're talking about, he can't even say the word. It means illegal immigration, undocumented immigrants. They do it, these hardworking people. They come here. It's a lot of work, and they may not speak English. They may not speak English, but this whole notion, this is Jim Acosta, this was the question. It wasn't even a question. It was an argument. This whole notion of, well, they have to learn English before they get to the United States. Are we just going to bring in people from Great Britain and Australia? No joke. That is what he said. Listen to this response from Stephen Miller, special senior advisor to the president.
I am shocked at your statement that you think that only people from Great Britain and Australia would know English. It reveals your cosmopolitan bias to a shocking degree that in your mind, no, this is an amazing moment. That you think only people from Great Britain or Australia would speak English is so insulting to millions of hardworking immigrants who do speak English from all over the world. Jim, have you honestly never met an immigrant from another country who speaks English outside of Great Britain and Australia? Is that your personal experience?
Of course there are people who come.
But that's not what you said. And it shows your cosmopolitan bias.
Cosmopolitan bias. I disagree with that. I don't think it's a cosmopolitan bias at all. I think that for a guy like Jim Acosta, he sees this as a very binary, straightforward deal. Are you for brown people or are you against? That's it. He's a total racist. The racist here, the racism of the left here is laid bare. It got in this short exchange. I can't overemphasize this. Right here, right now, exactly what I and other conservatives have been saying for so many years is just out in the open. If I were Jim Acosta, I'd want to take those words right back. And I'll just give you a few quick examples. Africa? Do you know how many natives of Africa speak perfect English? I'm going to throw out people who aren't white, because now the whole argument now all over the news, everywhere on CNN, you have this cacophony, it's a chorus, but it's still noise to me, of people arguing that this is racism, that implied in the president's request, not request, the preference for English-speaking immigrants is built-in racism, is prejudice against people of color. Okay? But I'm telling you here, I promise you, I have traveled the world. I can tell you, do you know how many people in Asia speak English? Not everyone, but the ones that do are sophisticated, are educated, are smart, and are exactly the kind of people that we want here. And I'll actually tell you, this is so important. Those are the kinds of people that not only are going to assimilate faster, because I hate to break it to you, but if you speak English, you will assimilate quicker, and assimilation is good for us. It's good for all of us. It's good for our communities. It's good for us as a nation. And it absolutely guarantees that these newcomers to our country will succeed. I mean, there's nothing that reduces you more to second-class citizen status than if you come in and don't speak English and then, as many people do, remain trapped in an immigrant community where no one learns the language properly. But beyond that, there is also in that there is guaranteed a certain quality of applicant. Because if you go to Europe there are people in Europe, I promise you this. There are people in Europe that are not in England, okay? That are not in Ireland, that are in Holland, that are in Italy, that are in Germany, that are in the Czech Republic, who speak better English than many people that I know here. So what we're seeing, the response to the president's immigration plan that was outlined today by Stephen Miller, his policy advisor, the response doesn't shock me in the least, but I have to highlight it because even in spite of Acosta, you know, from CNN he was toasted. If I were Acosta, I would have checked into a burn unit immediately following this exchange. But instead, Acosta goes back to CNN, goes on Brooke Baldwin, and says this, explaining how, well, this is what he says, explaining what the president's plan is to insist that people speak English.
When you hear the president make some of the comments that he makes about immigrants during the course of the campaign, talking about deportation forces, and when you see Stephen Miller, a policy advisor to the president, talking about an English language preference for people coming into this country, it is a wink, it is a dog whistle to certain parts of this country that they are going to be looking at the racial and ethnic flow of immigrants coming into this country. I just think that's undeniable. And I just wanted to remind him, this is what the Statue of Liberty says. This is what our tradition has always been in this country. We bring in people from all walks of life.
No, no. You know, and by the way, this English language preference is a dog whistle for racists? I mean, is that really, is that the argument? I'm getting worked up here. My parents came to this country speaking English. They did. And consequently were able to obtained their visas and they had their visas when they came over for some postdoctoral work. But when my dad was able to get his green card after some time, he was able to work. He was able to work at a university. He was able to get a good job. He was able to provide for us. This is all important. This is what we want our immigrants to do. The talk in here, by the way, about this, there was a back and forth earlier about the Statue of Liberty, where Jim Acosta started reciting the poem that's on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. The poem went on the Statue of Liberty later, by the way, so this is a little bit ahistorical the way he was using it. But I want to remind everybody that Ellis Island was a place where immigrants were also sent away, where immigrants were interned, where immigrants were put in little, practically jail cells, but for fear that they were going to harm us. Okay, there were people; they were sorted and sifted through to pick out the best possible immigrants from this country. So I think it's very, very silly now to argue about Ellis Island and argue about the Statue of Liberty, but. At the base of all of this, the most important thing here is what do you think about this? Because when you strip away the drama and the name calling and all of this nonsense, there are 7 billion people in the world. They all want to come, not all, but a lot of people want to come here. This is a great place to be in spite of the left's best efforts. So if we can choose who comes here, if there are more people interested to be here than we can make room for, shouldn't we be selective? It's a very important question. Why should we import unskilled labor when our own workforce is out of work? When our own workers are on welfare, when our own factories are being shut down, it just doesn't make any sense. And this is where I never understood why the Democratic Party continues its totally fake lockstep with big labor. And I don't understand big labor continuing its lockstep bromance with the Democratic Party, because immigration policy, open door immigration policy, has done more to hurt the American worker than anything else, any other single factor combined. And that's saying something. Oh, and by, I got to get into this too. They don't understand the difference between green cards and illegal immigration. And that's another very important point here. Don't go anywhere. There's more layers to this, and I will get to all of them. You'll be an expert on this by the end of the show, I promise. Sam Rogowski, back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski talking about the immigration announcement today out of the White House, where apparently we're going to make some changes to which immigrants we accept into this country and setting some new standards for who we issue green cards to. Now, this announcement has entirely everything to do only with legal immigration. These are who do we give green cards to? So presumably by implication, these are people who are coming to us with paperwork in hand and are turning it over to us, and we're making determinations of who we accept and who we reject. Now, let's just do it. Let's get it. So Acosta, Jim Acosta gets into it. And part of what I think is so interesting here is that when did journalists start to become argumentative with and are basically out there arguing policy with politicians? I don't understand it. Where was this in the last 8 years? None of this. They all sat there in the White House press briefing room with their little notepads, and they were just furiously scribbling. Oh, yes. What was that, Mr. President? Oh, yeah, you got it. That's what we saw for 8 years. But they have taken their oath to obstruct and resist the Trump presidency. They're taking it so seriously. But in the process, you have journalists debating with White House officials. It's an interesting thing. And it really does cross the lines from journalism to advocacy. So it's one thing to file away there in the back of your minds as you're listening to this. So Acosta says to Stephen Miller here, he goes, look, we're in a low period of immigration right now. The president wants to build a wall. There's the big bugaboo, right? Everybody, that's another piece of racism coming out of the White House, right? The wall is racist. Wants to build a wall, and you want to bring about a sweeping change to the immigration system. And this is Miller's response. Listen to this.
Surely, Jim, you don't actually think that a wall affects green card policy. You couldn't possibly believe that, do you? Actually, the notion that you actually think immigration is at a historic low, the foreign-born population in the United States today, Jim,
staff on Monday talking about how border crossings.
Do you really? I want to be serious, Jim. Do you really at CNN not know the difference between green card policy and illegal immigration?
They don't, because they don't want to talk about illegal immigration at all. See, for libs, this is so important. For libs, immigration is immigration. They do not want it. They don't want the word. You hear it all the time. The word illegal is in and of itself racist. Can't be used. You're a bigot if you call someone an illegal immigrant, if you refer to the phenomenon of people illegally crossing the border into this country in contravention of federal law, an illegal act. It's craziness. So in that process, the argument begins to fall apart because there are laws and there are rules and logic needs to follow them. And it doesn't. And this is where the left always runs into trouble. What this addresses, what this particular act, what this proposed legislation addresses, is simply legal immigration. And in my view, this is the part two to the wall. They do go together in the sense that we want to know who's in this country. We want to be able to choose out of the vast pool of interested applicants who wants to be in this country. I don't get it. You know, a lot of these guys, a lot of these journalists, they belong to, they went to prestigious universities. They went to Ivy League schools. They belong to fancy private clubs. You know, not my thing. So these are people that, you think that everyone got into Harvard? I mean, what would Jim Acosta want? I don't know. Where did he go to school? Let's figure that out. But there are so many things in life that these people probably cherish very much that are selective, that have a criteria. Do you think there's a Harvard lottery? Like, hey, let's just let some people in. But it doesn't work that way. The single most important thing that our immigration policy should achieve is putting together the best possible pool of new Americans. And that's it. Nothing else. We've got John Wolf up next with the news, and I'll be back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC, 1-800-222-5222 is the phone number. The email, sam@samnation.com. And we are live here on Wednesday evening from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain, talking about the president's plan to make some tweaks to our immigration policy, to the types of people that we give green cards to. Very simple, very straightforward, and the left is on fuego. That is a little hat tip there to Jim Acosta over at CNN. It's racist. Standards are racist. That's really what it is. That's really, if you say, hey, you got to speak English, that's racist. Another interesting thing, they want higher wage income earners in their native countries. So relative to whatever the median wage is in a given country, it's not relative to our wages. So if you want to immigrate from Zimbabwe, they're going to look at average wages, median wages in Zimbabwe. And they want higher income earners from that country relative to what the labor market is there. It's not racist, okay? But it's selective. What else does this remind you of? To me, it reminds me of another little issue the president wants to tackle, thank goodness. And that's affirmative action. Because I was joking last segment when I said, you know, Jim Acosta and all these other liberal left-wing nuts, they all went to fancy schools. Many of them went to Ivy League schools. Those schools were selective. And I had to remind myself in the break, well, Sam, come on. I mean, selective on what criteria? Because many of these schools do favor, of course, give points to people who are of different backgrounds and such, but there are still academic requirements that may or may not be relaxed for certain people if they're the right color, which is what is by definition, it's textbook racism, because you are looking at the color of someone's skin to determine what benefit you confer on them. That is not okay. And I think that My point in all of this was always, if you want to move to the ideal of a true post-racial society, which was a promised land that Obama was supposed to deliver us to, right? Remember that? Well, then we have to take race out of the equation. And moreover, I'm going to make a very important point here that I know I'm going to get hate for this. So I'm just warning you right now, if you are sensitive, if you're prone to melting, if you have snowflakes anywhere in your DNA superstructure. OK, you're still with me? Don't you think that if we have immigrants that come to this country from all over the world, all different shapes and sizes and colors, but they're the best of the best from every single place, what does that do for our sense of who these people are coming from these different countries? Do you know how much I love Mexico? I talk about it all the time. I'm in love with Mexico City, one of my favorite places in the world. You know, I think these liberals here a lot of times, they have no idea what kind of phenomenally brilliant quality people are in Mexico, because the people that come here are selected based on a very specific criteria. Can you make it across a desert through a dangerous place? That's it. That's the only criteria. It's not good enough. There should be other criteria. How smart are you? How hard, you know, how, what you know, where does your mind and brain and ambition operate? We can and ought to demand for the best of the best. It has nothing to do with skin color. It has nothing to do with your creed. It has nothing to do with your country of origin. It is strictly about the substance of who you are. And that is something the left can't live with. All right, don't go anywhere. More on this when we come back.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is. 790,
790,
790,
790.
KABC. Sam Rogowski, what do you do if you get into an accident in an Uber? You know, this actually happens a lot more than you'd think. Just because you get into an Uber doesn't mean that the driver knows what they're doing. In fact, a lot of the times the driver doesn't know what he or she is doing at all. I've been in Ubers where I am shocked at what I witness from the backseat. And I love that people get into Uber sometimes and they don't put on a seatbelt. You know, it's like that strange like taxi thing. Like you don't put a seatbelt. Why? Put a seatbelt on. I was talking to Sweet James about this, and he has handled so many of these Uber cases, both where you're in the Uber and you get rear-ended, and also the cases where the Uber driver is the one at fault. And the fascinating thing is that Uber fights these cases like you wouldn't believe, and they get involved regardless of what happened in the accident, and they fight. Don't do it on your own. Hire a lawyer that can take care of it. The lawyer we trust and that I know can do it is Attorney Sweet James Bergner. His phone number, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. I had a listener email me just during the break, raising a very interesting point when it comes to immigration. We have a unique policy here in the U.S. that comes from the 14th Amendment and has been codified in our immigration laws that allows for citizenship, automatic citizenship, to any person born here in the United States. So if you are physically present in the United States or any of its territories, including, for example, Guam or Puerto Rico, you become an automatic citizen. And I think, but this RAISE Act here doesn't address this at all, and it would be it's going to be a difficult thing if this is something that a politician at some point wants to tackle to and undo. There has to be a tremendous amount of political will for that to happen, because it involves making some significant, you know, constitutional changes by amendment. But I will tell you this, you know, I live, as you know, here safely behind the orange curtain. And in Irvine, I just had a friend tell me about this. This is countless stories. There are these companies that will buy a condo, and the condo will be, I don't know, 700 grand. So not an insignificant amount of money. I mean, these expensive places. And this is what they'll do. This is what the company does. They put a bunch of beds in it. It'll look like a dormitory. What happened to my friend is he had a water main. The condo was above his, and he had their water main broke, and there was some panic in the middle of the night, and he had to go up there. He otherwise would never have gone in, but he goes up there, and it's a bunch of beds, bunch of cots, no furnishings, no nothing. And it's a birthing deal for mostly Chinese women. And they advertise it in China, and the women come here when they're, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8 months pregnant. They have their babies here. Kids get a passport, and they go back to China. This happens all the time. I mean, it's been written about, but I'm very close to it because of where I live. You'll see a group of Asian women. They're all ginormously pregnant, walking along the street into the park. Now, maybe they're all really good friends and they just all happen to, you know, have a little click there of people that are all pregnant at the same exact time. But I don't think that that's what our founders, I don't think that that's what, you know, this is not what was intended, to how the laws was intended to be used. And so it's being exploited. So immigration policy, you know, it's all part of what I'm explaining here. It's important for us to be selective and to have control over who we have in our country and who we, you know, who we allow in. This issue is not part of it, but I know a lot of people are very interested. I get so many questions about this. I really do. So I appreciate the heads up to bring it up. It's probably never going to change. And so Trump doesn't even have it as part of anything here on the planet. It would most likely be a total non-starter. It would take real outrage over, you know, repeated acts of visible abuse. And you're not really even hearing stories about it, are you? I mean, it's not something that, you know, people are outraged about, at least not for now. All right, don't go anywhere. Back right after this.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky back behind the Sam Nation microphone. You know, I think we hit a nerve with talking about Uber. I didn't mean to pick on Uber. I was just mentioning that, you know, some of these drivers are not necessarily the best and accidents can happen. And you need a guy like Sweet James in your hip pocket just in case. And we have a caller. We've got, let's see, Tony in Beverly Hills. Now, Tony, you are an Uber commercial driver.
That is correct. And there's a huge difference between the commercial drivers, which are the ones that are licensed by the Public Utilities Commission. We have our TCP numbers. We have to have huge amounts of commercial insurance. And we're a lot of guys who have limo services that do Uber work on the side. Some of them do it full time. But there's a huge difference between us and the Uber X and Lyft drivers who are driving their own personal cars, and they're kind of hybriding a hybrid commercial policy.
I know this, and I think I can explain it. You're a black car driver. You've got your licensed commercial, and then you've got, you know, people who have their own cars and they drive, the only standard there is, do you have a driver's license? I mean, I don't think Uber really checks anybody.
Well, and you haven't gone out and, you know, axe murdered anybody. So, and we have to go through random drug testing. We go through a real NCIC background check where we get printed.
I get it. So Tony, let me ask you this though. So if I am out on a night bender, right? I'm night on the town. I've already Ubered. I've decided I'm going to Uber. I'm not going to drive. I'm doing the safe thing.
Good choice.
I want to ensure that I have you and not one of the bozos I was talking about. I got to pretty much go Uber black on the thing. I got to pay more money.
Uber black or Uber SUV if you've got a crowd.
There you go.
Takes up to 4 passengers. The SUV takes up to 6 passengers.
Well, this turned into an Uber advertisement, but I appreciate your phone call. And I will be kinder when I'm not going to lump all Uber drivers into one category. Thank you so much for calling and
You're
listening.
Very well.
Tony, great to have you with us. Have a great night. It is an important point. But I have this one friend who all he does on Facebook is post pictures of him sitting in the back seat taking photos of Uber drivers that look in a static photograph that look like terrible driver. I mean, they're just, you can see just white knuckle, 10 and 2 on the steering wheel. You can tell by how they have their seat position that they have no business anywhere near a vehicle, let alone driving people around. But then, you know, things can happen that are completely unexpected. Like, I remember that plane that crash landed on the 405. It's like a mile and a half from my office. I saw the plume of smoke from my desk. They landed, he hit an Uber. That was a guy who had a passenger. So that, of course, I think even the best Uber driver doesn't really, you know, who expects a plane's going to land on top of him? All right. Well, that was another show in the bag, gone and done. Jeez, we need more time. We really do, Robbie. Get on that. Just kidding. All right, well, listen, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, I'll be back doing it all over again. And thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. This is fun, isn't it?
Talk Radio. 790.
KABC.